48 total. In chapter 3, we spent a lot of time last week on verse 7. We'll go ahead and read that. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And we talked some about that, and this shows the reality of the gospel. And that the view is always of the seed. It's never in view of man. And faith is in view of the blessing that would come in the person of the seed himself. And that was the context of the promise that was made to Abraham. That's why it grieved Paul's heart. Well, they went for another gospel, which he said was not a gospel. And, of course, I was thinking about this word that's used out there, prosperity. You guys know about the prosperity gospel. I wasn't so much in the prosperity gospel, but I began to see that this prosperity gospel has many different forms, if you will, because it's, you know, the prosperity gospel that we know out in the forefront is sow your seed, get a lot of money back. But it comes in many forms. The form for me was, well, if you'll start going to church, God will provide you with a spouse or a, you know what I mean? It's still the same thing. I'm going to go do something for God. He, in return, whether it's a spouse or a car or some kind of blessing or money, it's still the same thing. I'm going to go do something for God. He's going to prosper me in whatever that way that I seen. And for the Galatians here, they went for the law, they went for the flesh. Still the same thing. They, you know, get God indebted to you. Do something for him so he can bless me. Do something, get ready so he can move. You know, all that stuff. And do it in the form that I think that I need, you know, whatever needs that we see on hand. But with that gospel, which is not a gospel, that whole thing, it never has its emphasis on the power, the increase of Christ himself living in the soul. It never has any of that. Abraham's faith had one object in view. That was the seed in whom all nations would be blessed, in whom the increase of that seed would fill the earth. And it's now fulfilled in Christ, who fills the earth, who fills the church, which is his body. Let me continue reading. I'm going to read down to verse 14. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are of the works of the law, for as many as are of the works of the law, it's an important little phrase there, are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And we spent some time last week talking about blessed with faithful Abraham, blessed in union with Abraham. Brought into the that word with, it means a state of union that is mutually enjoyed by Abraham and the believer. We're participating in the same blessing. The same blessing that he saw afar off, but now he along with us are partaking of the same blessing in union. with the seed that he looked for by faith. But now we have received. And we went to that verse. Let me go back over. Hebrews 11, 39. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They saw it afar off. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, you know that word, they're made perfect. That's brought to perfection. Brought to perfection. And what it's saying is one didn't go ahead of the other. You know, we looked at that Thessalonians. One didn't prevent the other. One didn't go ahead. We came together. And Christ was the goal that they had looked for. And let me show you something here in Hebrews 6. And this, you know, when you begin to see these verses in the context that we're looking at, they seem to come together. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Remember, we talked about that before, the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on to perfection. And remember this in the context here, in the context of faith and what faith's object is. And here Paul, the writer, is talking about leaving the types and the shadows, going on to the person himself. That's what he's saying. Allow the Spirit to bring us to perfection, which is Christ, so we wouldn't attempt to lay again the testimony, so we wouldn't still be holding on to the types and shadows. But keep that in mind. Let's just skip down to verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. This diligence, what are we talking about? We're talking about faith. And what's the word hope? Is expectation. And let me say that again. Do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Set your expectation to a specific end, a specific goal. You know, we can preach these things. We teach our kids set a goal. You know, be goal-oriented. Well, it's the same thing, but what's your goal? And he's telling them what Abraham's goal was, and what Isaac's goal, and Jacob, and Moses, and Isaiah, and David, their goal was Christ. So he's saying, do the same diligence to have the same goal as them. Not another goal. See, we come into the church and we want to find out our destiny and what our other goal and mission is, and it's never. So do the same diligence to the full assurance of the expectation. What is that expectation? Christ in you is that expectation. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who? Those who had the same expectation as I'm telling you to have. You know, Abraham and Isaac and Abel, who offered by faith, and all of these have the same expectation that they did. Do not be slothful. Do not put your expectation somewhere else. Who, how, through faith and patience inherit the promises. The same promises that was given to them. It's the same promise given to us. Not a different promise to Abraham. Not a different promise to Jews, and then a different promise to the Gentiles. Not a different promise. It's one promise, and that promise is fulfilled in the seed. See, those they looked for and waited for the reality of the promise that we have received. Remember, Peter said, we have a more sure word. A more sure word. Same thing he says right here in Hebrews 10. And you'll see when you begin to see Paul and Peter and all the writings, they said the same thing. Right here it is in Hebrews 10:35. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Remember we were just talking about don't be slothful, but do with the diligence and faith. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great recompense or reward. For you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And you know, we looked at that, not you doing the will of God, but the will of God having been done. And you know, that started, that's how Hebrews 10 started out. I come to do thy will, O God. The will of God having been done, now, you know, the substance of the promise is here. And you receive the substance of that promise given to Abraham in his coming, in his appearing. He is the content of what was promised. And we are participating in the same blessing that Abraham looked for. I mean, we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to the city of the living God. And I want to go back and look at this here in Genesis. Genesis 22. Because we're still talking about faith. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abram and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thine son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into a land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. And I want you to look at the point of view of faith, the hallmark of faith. Take now thine son, thine only son. Now, you guys know this, but now, Abraham did not make an argument about another son. Although, Abraham didn't step up and say, now, wait a minute, what about Ishmael? Because we're talking here about the reality of faith. And faith never looks at what you produce. And see, nothing of works is allowed here, because Abraham looked at his body dead. Knowed he couldn't do it. He had produced Ishmael. But now his body, Sarah's womb dead. You see, take now thine son. See, the hallmark of faith is thy son, thine only son. And I'm just going to skip down and you know, here he comes with the wood. Later upon his son, and they come together. God would provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. They came to the place which God told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order. Bound Isaac, his son, laid him upon the altar with the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. Remember? The angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. See the father's point of view? Thine only son. It's just over and over. See, Ishmael has no place where faith is found. And all the times in the scripture when you're talking about walking by faith, Ishmael's not mentioned. But when you're talking about missing the mark, Ishmael is mentioned. Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram, offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. See, what is he doing? He's bringing us to the second. Bringing us to the second, which is embodied in the risen Christ. And this is the type of Abraham receiving Isaac back from the dead, which we see right here in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. He that received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now he received the promise in the son, offered up that son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Why was this? Because the faith of Abraham was upon the seed. God had promised the seed. And he understood, Abraham understood that everything of God's plan and purpose and everything God had said, every blessing was absolutely bound up in that seed. And if God took him and didn't raise him up again, he knew everything was dependent on that seed. Faith says the seed is everything. Everything God said centered on the seed God had to raise him up again. Can you see why Abraham was able to do that? Because knowing, the Hebrew says, accounted that God was able to raise him up again. Because he knew that everything was bound up in that seed. And he received him. How did he receive him? As being raised from the dead. And this is showing the reality of faith. The end of faith, the goal of faith, is only realized and seen in the face of Jesus, in the risen Savior. So then we are blessed with faithful Abraham. How? Having received the risen Christ. And then you can see the blessings that in blessing, I will bless thee and multiply, and I will thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. All this is found in the risen Christ, the seed himself, who now lives in us, the very seed of whom we're born again, of the incorruptible seed, that very seed. Now there's a proverb here. Proverbs 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord. Now we're talking about this same blessing, because there's not another blessing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. Now see, you can tell what we do with these things. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh. Now here we go, trying to make external things, it maketh rich. And he addeth no sorrow to it. Now, if we go read Paul's writing in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So what kind of blessing is it? Spiritual. So how in the world can a dollar bill be spiritual? You see what I'm talking about? And where is the blessing at? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the blessing we have received in Christ. When Paul would talk about, that's why Paul would say, it's not I, but Christ. Christ is now, I'm crucified with Christ. Christ is now my life. My life used to be defined by keeping the law, by being a Hebrew, by being circumcised, by doing all these things, but... And that's how I tried to live unto God. But now I live by faith. This blessing which maketh rich, no sorrows added to it. Now I live by faith. My life is now found solely in the person of the seed who lives in me, who is my life, who is my righteousness, who is my holiness, who is my everything. This is the blessing that makes rich. Riches. Rich in what way? The riches of his grace. The riches of his fullness. The riches of his increase. The riches of his presence. The treasure that we have in earthen vessels. maketh rich and adds no sorrow. That word sorrow, that means no labor, no toil, no grief, no works unto God. You see what I mean? Because now we go back to the prosperity thing or whatever. I'm sowing and trying to get something. But this blessing doesn't have any of that stuff involved in it. This is just knowing that my body is dead as Abraham did, and I'm looking at the seed, I'm crucified, I'm looking at him as my everything. See, the blessing of the Lord doesn't necessitate you working unto God or you know, all those terms that we use in Christianity, serving God and doing all those things. What it does necessitate is your soul beholding Him as the perfect eternal work of God and allowing that one to have His work in you, to have His increase in you. I mean, He works in us both to will and to do what? If His good pleasure. This blessing has no sorrow added to it. No effort of your flesh. As a matter of fact, you try to add something to this blessing, you pervert it. So we could ask the question, then where is our hope set? Where is our expectation set? Is it set in me? Or is it set in Him? Him being the perfect work of God, or me doing the work of God. Now, let me get back over to Galatians. If you, when you look at this here in Galatians, and we may get into some of this a little more next week, but from Galatians 10, or Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, down to 14, he says the same thing in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16 to 21. It's just a repeat of it, but he's giving you some more details. It's just an overview. But that little term we looked at earlier, in verse 10, chapter 3, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law. And we know that that is just the opposite, if you will, of the hearing of faith. The works of the law, the hearing of faith. But what does it mean, the works of the law? It means that their source and their standing with God is totally founded in the keeping of the law, in the doing of the law. In the works, in their works, in their performance. And Paul would say, oh, foolish Galatians, those foolish enough to have their standing there are what? Under the curse. For as many as are under the works of the law are what? Under the curse. For it is written, everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, so what is this curse that they're under? Well, let's just go back here to John real quick. John, we'll start in verse 3:16. And remember, John, I always think of John as like, I come that you might have life. Now, if he came that you might have life, and people, I hear this scripture quoted on a daily basis, but if Jesus come that you might have life, that if we'd even got a glimpse of that verse, it must necessitate that he came to give us something we did not have. I mean, if you really think about it, I come that you might have life. Why, Jesus? I'm alive. I don't need life. We're all alive. That ought to tell us that just you moving, you running and jumping don't mean nothing about life. There's a difference between animation and life. But here, for God so loved the world. And remember, in view of I came that you might have life, that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I come that you might have life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now remember, he didn't send his Son to condemn the world. Why didn't he send his Son to condemn the world? They were already condemned. Didn't have to. We could see that same thing in Romans. But here's that word in verse 18. He that believeth. And you can look this up. That word believeth there is the verb form of the word faith. And some of the, in the original context, it'll say faithing. So those, he that is faithing. Now what is the object of faith? The object of faith is the seed. It's Christ himself. So those that are faithing, having their expectations set on none other than Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, those that are have their expectations set there, they're not condemned. But he that is not faithing, he that does not have their expectations set on Christ, is condemned already. Now that word condemned, that means those that are faithing, those that are believing. And I like the word faithing better because I know what believing means, because we can make believe, you know, I believe that tomorrow it's going to rain. I believe, you know, we can do a lot of things with those words, but here it's in the context of faith. So to me, it's always a check in me that every time I hear those things, you know, it's like we talked about that one time. He came to his own received him not. And you know, the Lord just kept me right there for a long time. What does it mean to receive the Lord? And I thought, well, gosh, I received the Lord in 1980. That's when I received the Lord. And then I think, well, I received the Lord, and this is what Christians do. Well, I received him. Hey, all's good and merry. And now let's just go back out and do whatever. This is why we have so many different doctrines, because they would say, well, there's no way that you can receive him in 1980. Once you receive him, you got to follow these rules or you can lose it. You see, we can go and counter doctrines will come in to refute, and that's why we have free wills and predestinators and you know, to try to, and see, this is what man does. He's always trying to justify his standing. In everything, man is always trying to justify his standing, even if he's got to use predestination to do it. But our standing is one man, and his name is Christ Jesus. So when I'm looking at this faith, and I'm always thinking, am I walking in faith? Am I walking beholding him? Because there are times in my everyday life that I am not. And to be honest with you, there's more times that I am not than there is that I am. I mean, that's the truth of my walk. There's sometimes I'll go, and this may sound crazy, but sometimes, you know, you can get into the throes of action 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hours, and you're thinking, I haven't even thought of the Lord. You know? I mean, so there's always that repenting. There's always that turning. There's always that Holy Spirit that's in there to anchor you back, pull you back, and you know, to get on that. But these are not, those that are walking are not under the penalty of judgment. I'm going to show you something here. They're beholding him, the one who was promised to Abraham by faith. They're faith in him. They're beholding him. But they that do not have their faith, that are not faithing him, do not have their faith set on him, they are condemned already. Now look, this condemnation wasn't something that jumped on them. God didn't come down here and say, all right, you guys, I'm condemning you. That was their, by nature, their natural state of being. Already, that was their natural state of being. Their natural condition. So we can see here, now I'm starting to get a picture of the bigness, if you will, of faith. You know, because faith in our church world is just a small word. A word that we use, Kathy's having a bad day. Well, Kathy, just have faith. Have faith, God's going to get you. You know what I mean? How we dumb down those words. But now I'm seeing that, hey, look, this faith is set on one object, and it's him. And anything outside of that object is cursed. It's in condemnation. And the thing is, because we are born first in that natural state, only faith will deliver us from this state. So, I mean, we could say this, so what is not of grace is of the curse. See, there's no middle ground. There's no neutral Switzerland in this thing. You're either of grace or you're of the curse. And what is grace? Christ in you, being made unto you all that he is. Being all things of life and godliness. Being in us all that we are not by nature. It's me being crucified with him and by his death becoming dead to all that I am. And Christ now living in me is all that he is. And it's, how do we access this grace? By faith we access this grace. I mean, you know, it's that coming from one to another. But he that believeth not, he that is not faithful, he that has not accessed grace by faith is condemned already. Now why is that? Because God gathered up all in one man. We could say all were found in Adam. Just show you this verse here in Romans. Romans chapter 5. Because that's what he's doing. I'm going to just go to verse 15, Romans 5:15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Can you see how he's making the comparison here? Just by one, the offense and the condemnation. But just in that same way, grace. Do you see what I mean? I mean, you know. So how did you become condemned? When you was born. When you was born and the doctor held you up, you were condemned. How did you become not condemned? How did you become a partaker of grace? You were born. You were born again. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment or condemnation came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification of life. You see? Because he gathered everything up into one. And then the cross makes this separation. makes this separation. You remember and not to go into this and into too much detail, but in Matthew 25 and 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, the sheep and the goats. Well, what does He say to those on the right hand? Come ye blessed of My Father. This is the same blessing He was talking about with Abraham. The blessing that he received by faith. The promise that He gave to Abraham. Abraham received it by faith. The thing that he looked for that was afar off. Come ye that are blessed of My Father. This is the blessing that makes rich and has no sorrow. But then what does He say to those on the left hand? Then He shall say to those on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, unto everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. See, these guys here in John, and all the way through, they haven't by faith laid hold of Him. So what is outside of the boundaries of Christ or outside of the boundaries of grace is cursed. It's the only thing that's there. Everything outside of Christ is cursed. That's why He says in Romans 14, that's not of faith is sin. That's see, it's the faith that lays hold that accesses this grace. That's not of faith is sin. Now you know what sin is. Sin is that which falls short. And I was studying on this. And you know, He's not talking about deeds. That's the goal of every Christian, every believer. Of even other people that don't have Jesus, they have, you know, they call it Elysium, they call it Nirvana, they call it heaven. They got a name for it, but it's the goal. But He says that first man is what? He fell short of the goal because he's of the earth, earthy. But where are the blessings in heavenly places in Christ? So then we could say, and guys, I know that, and see, I'm not pointing a finger here but anybody but myself, because I spent 20 years in Christianity having faith for everything but Jesus Christ. I had faith for a job, I had faith for a new car, I had faith for a loan. I had faith for everything but. I called it faith anyway. Faith is bound up in nothing other than Jesus Christ. Now, let me go back over here to Galatians. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written. What do you mean it's written? Written where? Somewhere in the Scriptures, right? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, that's just found right here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26. Now look what he says. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Deuteronomy 27 and 26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now you remember here in Deuteronomy, basically what he's talking about, because you know, You guys know all these scriptures. You got all the blessings and all the curses. You got one mountain that's blessed, one mountain that's cursed. Guys, we're talking about two men here. One that's blessed and one that's cursed. Now he says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. Now what does he mean to do them? That means to accomplish them. That means to give the law substance. Let me show you this word right here. Confirmeth. Cursed be he that confirmeth not. That word confirmeth in the Hebrew means to arise, to make sure, to make good, to fulfill, to ratify. What's he says? Cursed is everyone who cannot fulfill this law. Cursed is everyone who cannot bring this law to its fullness. Cursed is everyone who can't make good this law. Guess who that is then? That is everyone other than Christ. Because it spoke of him. Now see, the law was given to them. The law that was given to them, it was an external view of the one to come. It testified of Christ. It was a schoolmaster. Now, we talked about the law being that little parenthesis, you know, faith to faith and the law right in the middle. We see the law was given because of transgression. And what was their transgression? They would not walk by faith. So when they wouldn't walk by faith, God put them under the law. Right? He put them under the law. He kept them bound up under the law. Until when? Until faith came. Until the seed of whom was promised came. They were kept under that, bound up into that thing. Until he whom the promises spoke of came. And what was the law? What did the law do? The law was a continual indictment of man's already cursed state of being. The law didn't make them cursed. Because, you see, God, he never wanted imitators of Jesus. He wants Christ to live in you as he is. And see, we take this law and we say, oh, well, this is how we got to go serve God and do all these things. I heard somebody say it the other day, a friend of mine, he was talking about this. He said, you know, we got to love God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. We got to. It says it right there. And I thought, good luck, old buddy. I've tried. I mean, every time I'd read them Ten Commandments, I wouldn't get nowhere. And I thought, well, I can't do that. I can love God on a good day. When all things is going well, I think I love him. I don't even know what love is. And you know what James said? James says, if you're going to do the law, you fall short in one, you're guilty of all. Guilty of all. So where does that make us? That makes us an offense of the whole law. And see, what the law does is it exposes who you are by nature. It exposes you as being the cursed man, as you're the one who your heart is only evil continually, the one who has no part, the one who brings you up to the conclusion, as Paul, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death, this soul? This wasn't Paul having a bad day. Paul seen the whole state of being here. Paul was, who shall deliver me from this kind? You see, because we, you know, in Genesis we're talking about kind. Paul says, my God, I'm of the wrong kind. You know, they asked Jesus, yeah, and here it is, with men it's impossible. Let me go back over here to Galatians. But that no man, I'm in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now when he says in the law, in the sphere of the law, in the sphere of the law, still trying to relate to God in the wrong man. Let me show you a Psalms here, Psalms 143. Psalms 143, verse 2. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. No man living is justified in the sight of God. No man living. Now you see where all this stuff goes. And that's why in Romans chapter 7, he that's living, how does it say it right there? Let me just go over there to Romans 7. Know ye not, brethren, I speak to them that know the law, how that law, that the law hath dominion over man as long as he lives? Any man living is not justified in the sight of God. Why do you think Paul would say, I'm crucified? The just shall live by faith. As long as you live, not justified. See how important? Remember Achan brought in what? The curse thing. We talked about what that was. And Paul's talking to the Galatians about the things that trouble you. That is not a gospel. What are they doing? They're bringing you back into the picture. You got to do this. You got to fix this. You. Here while I'm in Romans. Romans 3:19. Know we now that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Who's under the law? As long as a man liveth, he's under the law. That every mouth may be stopped. All the world may become guilty. What mouth is stopped? The mouth that boasted his own righteousness. He brought all mankind and said it's cursed. Guilty. It's under, remember we were reading over here in John, it's under the decision. It's under the condemnation. It's under judgment. He brought the whole thing under one name, under one head, under Adam. Gathered them all up that the whole world may be guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now listen, now here's where we go. The law doesn't define sin. Because that's what people do with the law, ain't it? They say, well, you can't do this. You can't, because it says in the Bible you can't do it. The law, for by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. What does he mean, the knowledge of sin? The law defines the righteousness of God. It gives very perfect details of the righteousness of God. So that when that which is contrary to the perfect righteousness of God comes up before that perfection, what's the result? You know? The result is the knowledge of sin. The result is, O wretched man that I am. You see, it was never about deeds. And see, that's what people try to do with the knowledge of the law, is they try to say, you can do this, you can't do this. But when the knowledge of the law really has its effect, it's, O wretched man that I am. I miss the mark. I fall short of the glory. So how can the deeds of the law justify this man? It can't. There's only one cure. I'm crucified. A final judgment. I'm crucified. Because see, you're under the curse. You were under the curse, under the law, and there was no way out. The only finality to that was the execution of the judgment. That's why we go right here to Hebrews and in chapter 9, Verse 26, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now listen, this is the same word as John says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin. It's not sins, S-I-N-S. He wasn't taking away the deeds. He's talking about the man. The man. Now, he didn't die on the cross to put away a bunch of bad deeds. He put the man away. He put that kind away, because that's what we're talking about right here, right? That kind. He put that away, how? By the sacrifice of himself. Now, here's this little part right in the middle. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. See, the judgment based upon that death. See, that death brings the judgment. That the judgment is brought about by the death. And then he says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. See, this one man was given unto all men. All mankind died at that one time. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second, without reference to the first, without sin unto salvation. And what are we talking about? Where's the promise and all faith? Where's its hope all realized? In the risen Christ, the second, in the resurrected seed. The seed that Abraham looked for, and that life is found in the life and nature of Christ. That's formed in us and working in us, where the second is Christ all in all. And then when you go back over here to Romans, where is boasting then? It's excluded by what law? Of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Why? Because faith sees him. Paul takes away all the ground of boasting. Because faith sees him. Faith declares not I, but Christ lives in me. And then right here in verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And that word there, established in the Greek, is the same as that word confirmeth over there in Deuteronomy 27 and 26. And all it says really is, do we do it or do we see him as the substance of it? See, we establish the law because the law's, we establish the law because we see him as the substance of it. We go back to Galatians. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident the just shall live by faith. One last scripture, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. That word lifted up, it means they're puffed up in their own works. Paul, again, takes away all ground of boasting. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. So it's all of faith. All of faith. And that's what Paul's trying to establish with these Galatians, who began in the Spirit, began in the realm of perfection, and now they're trying to walk outside of that realm, go back into what is cursed, to be justified before God. Now, I know, you know, when Paul writes these things, you know, in my mind, you know, all this stuff that we're talking about, I don't think most Christians even understand or realize the difference in works, law, grace, and all these other things, or the severity of what is the difference between what is cursed and what is not. I don't think that we even began to see. Now, God gave them outward appearances of things in the Old Testament. You bring strange fire, you die. You Achan brought a little wedge of gold in a coat. Killed him and his whole family. I mean, you know, we don't understand the severity of those things, and we've watered down grace, and now God loves everybody, and he's just wanting to, you know what I mean? And we don't see the purpose. We don't see any of these things. We don't see the severity of it. And this is why Paul is grieved and talking to the Galatians and bringing Abraham and faith back around and what it is and what its object is. And where it's found, who it's found in, and why would you walk outside of those boundaries to go back into the curse thing and try to bring something back into God? You know, we can see that in the scriptures over and over. Why he said it's as if you've offered a dead dog to me. Your offerings, what are they? They're stinking my nose. It's as if you offered some crippled thing to me, and all these things, because we're not beholding the Son. We're not beholding the Son. So, I will quit.